Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go right to the phone lines. First up, Michael, listening in Missouri. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Hank. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm tickled the fact that I'm getting a chance to talk to you, especially now. I have a question about the church that we're attending now. It's called the Apostolic Holiness Church, and it's a branch off of the United Pentecostal Church.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is that I was saved in a Baptist church, which was not Southern Baptist, but essentially, you know, part of the saving process was having a person to just take me through the steps and kind of give me a basis. At the time, I was also introduced into your program, too, and it kind of added to each other, but over the past year or so, I've been changing positions, and I kind of lost track, so now I've been hearing you again, and I was looking for a church in this town that I'm in now, and could never find one, and so I finally found this one, and I guess, you know, I enjoyed it, I still enjoy it, but their perception of the Trinity is, well, obviously they don't believe that there's a specific Trinity, they believe it's all Jesus.
Yep.
And, I mean, I can understand their perspective. I know it's like, you know, the triune being of, you know, God, Spirit, and Son, and we need to worship one God. I just don't, anyway.
Here's the deal. This is a classic case of error begetting error. So the belief that you have to be baptized only in the name of Jesus has led these oneness Pentecostals to the further error that Jesus is himself the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They don't hold to one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, but to three manifestations of one God revealed in Jesus. In fact, as you probably well know, that they believe that the doctrine of the Trinity is pagan, polytheistic philosophy. But the truth is, the Trinity is neither pagan nor polytheistic. And it's certainly not pagan philosophy. It's biblically based. Scripture plainly reveals personal self-distinctions within the Godhead. The Father says of the Son, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever." And the Son says of the Father, "I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." The very fact that Jesus prays to the Father demonstrates that Jesus cannot be the Father. And I'm, of course, frequently told by oneness adherents that this is explained by the notion that Jesus' human nature prays to his divine nature. Well, that's clearly not the case. Natures can't pray, only persons can. The problem further is that oneness Pentecostalism holds to a litany of legalistic prescriptions, including the test of rebaptism by their formula with evidence of speaking in tongues. No tongues, no salvation. And as you can imagine, this has placed tremendous socio-psychological pressure on the adherents to conjure up the gift of tongues. Those who do not speak in tongues are, well, they're thought to be lacking in faith or even to be entirely unrepentant. So this is a legalistic, human-based religion that denies the biblically based notion of the nature of God, which we should bow our knee before. I can't comprehend the Trinity, but I can apprehend it. It's not something that's illogical, nor something that we should shun, and certainly not something we should call pagan. The United Pentecostals have been rightly castigated by Pentecostalism in general, including the Assemblies of God, and rightly so. They have denied an essential, and an essential that has to do with the very nature of God. And again, involved and embroiled in all kinds of legalism. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Right back to the phone callers. Next up is Patricia. She's listening in Kansas. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, Hank. I heard that Darwin actually recanted his beliefs about the theory of evolution. And do you have any documentation on that? And where can I find it?
Yeah, I've written about this in several places in a book called The Creation Answer Book, as well as in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. But there's a couple of points that I would make in this regard. First, that whether Darwin did or didn't renounce evolution doesn't speak to the issue of whether or not evolution is true or false. You could say Darwin renounced evolution because he was senile, or perhaps he had taken a mind-altering drug, or he might just have hedged his bets with some eternal fire insurance. So this doesn't speak to the truth or falsity of evolution one way or the other. But I think there's a more important point, and that is, as followers of the one who proclaimed himself not only to be the way and the life, but also the truth, we must set the standard for the evolutionist, not vice versa. The Darwin legend, turns out, this legend of a deathbed conversion, turns out to be an illustration of the recklessness with which Protestant controversialists are seeking to support any cause they're advocating. Now, I'm certainly against Darwinism, but I'm also against making up a story. There's absolutely no, and I mean no, evidence for his deathbed conversion, and all the evidence speaks directly counter a deathbed conversion. In fact, there's a good book called The Darwin Legend by James Moore, where he painstakingly documents the fact that there is no substantial evidence that Darwin ever repented, but there is abundant evidence that he consistently held to his evolutionary paradigm.
Thank you, Hank.
You got it. And again, I've written about this. I thought in another place I wrote about this is in The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, which is also available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can see the book online at equip.org. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Mike in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Hi, Mike.
Oh, hello, Hank. I appreciate you taking my call. Your ministry has just been a wonderful blessing to me, and I'm sure to a lot of people. I had a question and kind of another one on top of that. I had somebody that I knew that is passing out a book called Conversations with God, and I didn't know what that was associated with, if it was pantheism or universalism, because he seems to think he's divine.
Well, this guy's a false teacher. Neil Donald Walsh claims to have had these direct conversations with God and has recorded those talks in his books like Conversations with God. But these are not conversations with God. These are conversations with himself. In other words, they're vain imaginings. And he does hold to all kinds of weird ideas, including the notion that Hitler didn't go to hell. Why? Because he couldn't have gone to hell because hell doesn't exist. And he says that every religion has declared him condemned and sent straight to hell. And therefore, he's saying now that's wrong. Well, the fact of the matter is, Hitler did not simply die in the comforting arms of his mistress with no eternal consequences. The ancients knew better to think things like that. Hitler is going to be justly and condignly held accountable for what he did in the flesh, as is everyone. And that's why, at the end of the day, from a biblical perspective, in a biblical worldview, we have hope only if we're dressed in the righteousness of the robes of Christ. In other words, the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, Christ's righteousness laid to our account, our unrighteousness paid for at the cross. That's why we reach out the hands of a beggar and receive the gift of a king. Neil Donald Walsh, if you take his writings and contrast it with God's actual statements, his infallible, divine statements in the Bible, are found to be false. And I've demonstrated through my book, Has God Spoken?, that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. By the same token, you can know that Neil Donald Walsh and his conversations are not divine in origin. They're merely human ramblings in origin. Not to be trusted, the sheep should always be saved from the wolf. We shouldn't put the wolf in the sheep pen. We're coming to a station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with answers to more of your questions.
The Church of Almighty God, also known as Eastern Lightning, is a socially subversive pseudo-Christian cult. It follows a self-proclaimed female Christ whose heretical doctrines incite violence. Denying the Trinity and biblical authority, Eastern Lightning uses psychological intimidation, disrupts families, and has even perpetrated physical assaults. In graphic language, the counterfeit Christ exhorts followers to abandon their families and devote themselves to recruiting new converts, branding those who refuse as worthless. You can read more about the iron rod of this false almighty God in a special print issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence.
Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
The Bible is increasingly under attack. You hear professors say things like there are more mistakes in manuscript copies of the Bible than there are words in the New Testament. You hear pundits talking about the biblical account of King David is no more factual than tales of King Arthur. There's simply no evidence in archaeology or history for King David, Israel's quintessential king. Or you hear that contemporary prophets are 100% wrong 100% of the time, and so are biblical prophets. They're unreliable. What's the answer to this? Well, you can know that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And that's what my book, Has God Spoken, is all about. It not only gives you the evidence, but it also teaches you to answer the attendant question, if God has spoken, what has God said? Teaches you to read the Bible for all it's worth, to mine the Bible for all its wealth. Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I'll send you a personalized copy of Has God Spoken when you join the support team. All of that can be done online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000. And the letters C or I. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Dan next, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how you doing, Hank?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I have a question. I have a friend here who claims to be, he's a Christian Methodist Universalist from what I'm kind of getting from what he's talking about. And his viewpoint is that, you know, all paths lead to heaven, and he has a kind of a favorite analogy to use, or a story to kind of prove this in his own mind, is that, you know, there's a holy man on the in a mountain who's never heard the story of Jesus, and he's been faithful to his God his whole life. You know, does this guy also go to hell? And I'm wondering where I can send him specifically in Scripture to kind of combat this.
Yeah, the quick road to dodge, so to speak, is the words of Jesus Christ himself when he said, "Do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned." You find that in John chapter 5. But beyond that, remember that no matter where you are, God gives you light. Paul, the apostle on Mars Hill, in Acts chapter 17, talked about this when he said, "From one man God created every nation of men, that they should inhabit the entire earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that men could reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." So there is no such mythological or hypothetical anecdotal figure like the one this man is describing. Everyone has the light of creation, as Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1. Everyone has the light of conscience, which is to say, the knowledge of God inscribed upon the tablet of their heart. And if they respond to the light of creation and the inner light of conscience, they can receive the light of Christ as described in Romans chapter 3. So the problem is never that there's darkness out there that cannot be penetrated. The problem is that men love darkness rather than light. So in other words, there's plenty of light, but men who love darkness don't find that light because they want to remain in darkness.
I think he's kind of caught up with the fact that, you know, if there are multiple paths to heaven, if you're trying, that it's enough. And that's, to me, it seems like a contradiction to call yourself both a Christian and then also a universalist.
It is. It is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And you can find Christ if you respond to the light of creation, the light of conscience. You can receive the light of Christ as well. And by the way, the normative means through which that happens is through human beings, but it's not the only way. God can directly reach someone through a vision or a dream, or like he did with Saul, who became Paul on the road to Damascus.
Very good. Very interesting. Thank you very much, Hank. I appreciate you taking my call.
Hey, you got it. My pleasure. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Carlos, El Paso, Texas. Hi, Carlos.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I have a question. I've been reading the Bible, and I've noted that Jesus broke bread on the Last Supper, and then he broke again bread after he resurrected when he appeared to the two apostles.
Yep.
He broke again bread before he departed. And then the apostles broke bread in Acts. Every time they would gather, they would break bread. And my question is, why is it that a lot of churches don't take it serious? If it's important to Jesus and the apostles, why isn't it important to a lot of churches?
Well, it ought to be important, exactly as you point out. I mean, it is a theme in Scripture. It's a new covenant. It is the old covenant fulfilled by Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ himself. And you can look this up in Luke 22, where Jesus said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then in the same way, after the supper, he takes the cup and says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." We're told by Jesus Christ directly to take the bread and the cup and do it in remembrance of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, until he comes again. In fact,
right.
It is to be done in community. When you become a believer, you're baptized into a body. When you take the bread and the cup, you are taking it in community as part of a body of which Christ is the head. And not only so, but it takes over or takes the place of the Passover lamb. No longer is the Passover lamb necessary because the ultimate Passover lamb has come. His body has been broken. His blood has been shed for the complete remission of sins. And therefore, we ought to do this until he comes again, just as he commanded us.
So those churches that don't, are they missing out? Or what would be your answer as to why they don't do it?
They're trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. They're trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ if they do not do it. Now, the number of times you do it, I mean, that's a matter of ecclesiology. Some churches don't want to do it every week. Why? They don't want it to become simply a habit that you partake in unthinkingly. Other churches say, no, every time we get together, this is the apostolic prescription. It is the pattern laid down in Acts. We should break bread and drink the cup every time we fellowship together on the Lord's Day. But in any case, the one thing you cannot do is forsake the gathering of yourselves together and forsake partaking in the body and blood as represented by the elements. And again, this is what Jesus Christ himself said. He said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so the pattern was laid down. It is something that we do in community. It is something that we do as a collective body. And it is something that we should not forsake as we gather together, but something that we should involve ourselves in. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Talitha, listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Talitha.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Well, I had a question. It was about Joyce Meyer. I think this is a while back, but I remember you saying that she, you know, she misleads a lot of her followers. I don't know if you put her in the category of, you know, the prosperity gospel preachers.
Yeah, I do put her in that category. And I write about her in that vein in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. But the thing that you have to watch with her is that she takes texts out of context and uses them as a pretext for what she's trying to teach. And so you have to be very careful because she'll quote the Bible and she'll say, "I'm using the Bible. The Bible says." But then what she's actually quoting is not what the Bible says. For example, she'll tell you that Scripture tells us that we are to call the things that are not as if they already were.
Yes, well, I remember saying that.
Yeah, well, that's not really what the scripture says at all. The problem is people don't know the Bible or don't check her reference out, and therefore they don't realize that she has just twisted the scripture. The very passage that she references happens to be Romans 4:17, which communicates that it is the God who gives life who calls things that are not as though they were. So it's not we, it's God. So she twists the text and uses it as a pretext to communicate her prosperity message. But it's simply an abuse of scripture, not a correct use of scripture. And those are the kinds of things you have to watch for when you're listening to people like Joyce Meyer.
Okay, well, thank you.
You got it. And again, I've written about this in a book called Christianity Crisis 21st Century, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember the resources that I've talked about on the broadcast available on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants also standing by via the phone, 888-7000-CRI. We do thank you for your support. Prayerfully and financially, you're allowing us to touch the lives of people. You're making a difference. So long. We'll see you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.